Welcome to Cards Subject to Change, part of the For Frequency Sake podcast network. With me, my tag team partner, the Honorable Nick Bull. As always, I am the Wizard CZ, and we're talking all things Clash at the Castle. Nick Bull, how are you today, my friend?
Oh, I'm jolly. How about you?
I'm feeling pretty good. I thought the show was fun all around, with few exceptions.
I couldn't think of anything British to say.
Pip, pip, cheerio. How's that for British? So I think we got to start off. The stadium itself was the setup. Everything was just phenomenally done, I thought. I said to you via text when we were watching some of it that it felt kind of like when they do the Rumble at Madison Square Garden mixed with a WrestleMania feel. The way the entrance was.
Yeah, it was a very intimate feeling entrance where the crowd's right there. It's like they're coming, almost right through the crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
And the stadium setup was beautiful. They jammed them in there. And it did. It had that MSG Royal Rumble feel with a WrestleMania the top, And the production, WWE always does a tremendous job of production. With their shows, and this just goes to show that they lead the industry in the production aspect, and I thought they pulled it off with the show. I thought everything looked great with it optically.
And I loved the castle shaped LED screen up at the top for the crowd to watch the matches around, and for the entrance videos to play on. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. A very nice touch that wasn't too. It was a very nice touch that wasn't too over the top.
No, absolutely. It was very cool. I think it was masterfully put together. The set, the stage, and like you said, WWE is top notch about their production and their value of how their product looks, and it really showed here. And I think, we just need to get right into it. I mean, you and I were talking last week about how into it the crowd was at 92 SummerSlam, and this crowd did not disappoint. They were hyped up from the get-go, and I think that really played a lot into making this show as great as I felt it was.
I think part of, the reason why you love this show so much, the reason why I liked it, I enjoyed it, still rehashing it in my mind, is the crowd held up to their end of the bargain, right?
Absolutely.
The crowd did what they were supposed to do and excelled at times, carried the match when the match would be slow, whatnot. Excuse me, I had a burp there. But anyways, the crowd held up to their end of the deal. How many times we say, oh, the crowd was flat, man, the crowd, what were they thinking? They didn't do anything. I thought this crowd was very well, with the homeland cheers and they're used to that with their football over there. But the crowd was into it, and that helped make this show. It kind of felt like, to me, this show felt a lot like the SummerSlam in Vegas when Becky Lynch came back. That's kind of like,
yes,
what this show felt like to me.
And, even you got the opening match, which you and I talked on air. I don't think either one of us really cared very much for the opener. You've got Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka going against Team Bayley, Dakota, and Io, and we finally get the name of this group. They are called Damage Control, or at least that's what the video and their music said. I did notice that none of the announcers commented on this, and that surprised me.
Yeah, the wide shot of the stadium shows Damage Control up on the Titantron, and like you said, there was no mention of it by the announcers. It's funny. I don't know if they're going to come out and announce themselves now as Damage Control, or how they're going to, introduce the name, or how they're going to recognize the name. That'll be something to tune in for on Monday night. Definitely one of many things to tune in for on Monday night after what happened here this afternoon.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rumors going around. I was we'll get into a lot of things here. I don't want to touch on too much early on, but disappointed we didn't see as many surprises as far as returns go. But, we were talking about the crowd this first match. The thing that I loved about this first match in the crowd is that they were rabidly cheering for Bayley, and all it did was piss her off.
Right. And she played right back into their hands. She's the heel. She's not supposed to be cheered. So she's a pro's pro. Bailey did what she's supposed to do and played it off right. And I think some of the other talent on the roster would not excel in that spot. And that's where you put – that's why Bailey is in that spot leading this female faction. I love it, and I hope it continues to grow and gets bigger storyline-wise.
Oh, I agree. I think they only have they have unlimited potential as to where they could go. I understand why they didn't put the tag titles on EO and Dakota. To an extent, I mean, that gives the rub to Raquel and Aaliyah so that they can get some spotlight. But really, I don't think this faction needs the spotlight of those tag titles. I mean, you got to look down the road. Eventually, Bayley's probably going to win the belt off of Bianca. You can probably look forward to EO and Dakota winning the tag titles at some point. I can see them at some point in time down the road holding all three of those belts.
Yeah, they don't need the belts. They don't need them right now because they're so hot. They're so over right now. They don't need the belts, and that's why you got this six-person tag.
And they gave the right people the win with the Damage Control getting the win over the Raw Women's Champion who got the pin. That was Bayley got the pin over Bianca, and I think that's what needed to happen.
It's the first time Bianca has been pinned on TV in 2022.
Yeah, definitely needed to happen, and good start to what looks to be a build between her and Bayley for that championship over the next couple of months.
Yeah. Bayley got the win here in a tag match. Bianca doesn't lose anything here. They can come back and revisit this match as the root of the story. So stories have to start somewhere, and we got to start here. And I like how it started. And I'll have the same thing to say about a match later. I think it's just the start of something big. You definitely didn't see the end of something later, and you definitely didn't see the end of, you know, Bayley and Bianca. This is just the start.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm anxious to see where they go from here. Get a handful of promos coming out of this match. We see hype up for the A&E biography series. It's the season finale of that, dealing with WrestleMania 1. That's tomorrow, Sunday, September 4th, when that'll air. I don't know if you've watched any of the biography series. I've seen a couple of episodes. It's really interesting how they pull those shows together.
Yeah, I've seen the Edge one, and I've seen the Kurt Angle one. I do not have A&E, so I by chance saw those at a friend's house. But no, I don't have them. But I've heard nothing but rave reviews about them. Not one bad thing about them. How well, once again, WWE does production. You know, they got the library, they got the tools. Man, that's, you know, say what you want about the sports entertainment side, but their production videos, all that stuff, second to none.
100%. We see a hype up for Cody Rhodes. They're trying to keep him in our minds while he is out injured. Not expected to be back for several months still. So that was cool. Big time boxer, British boxer Tyson Fury. Talking with Drew McIntyre in the back. Then they show him, this was before the night, before the card started, where they're talking in the back. They show him at ringside, so we know he's in the building watching the show. And then they talk about SummerSlam 92. I thought that was a really good touch that they brought back the stadium show that they hadn't had for 30 years. They bring it back and touch us with what we talked about last week in our archives in SummerSlam 92.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was a time, a little filler time here. Show your dignitaries at ringside. You got the world heavyweight boxing champ, the lineal gypsy king, Tyson Fury at ringside. Good to see him, and the fans pop for him. Then they show the retrospective of 92 and call it one of the greatest matches in SummerSlam history, really putting over the Bulldog and how, you know, it was the biggest win of his career on his home, you know, home turf in the country. And they just, you know, showed a highlight package of Bulldog and Brett during that. And that was cool. And then we come out of that. And I think the biggest surprise to me was seeing Bret Hart there.
Yeah. Because
Bret Hart at a WWE event and, you know, being an ambassador and the he was with Bulldog's family, so he had a reason to be there, and it looks good. And Brett looked great. Brett looked better than he did a few weeks ago when I've seen him at the Ric Flair's last match card. So it was a good touch to see, you know, those at ringside, you know, the highlight video, and then seeing Bret Hart. I really liked that. That was a good touch.
That, I thought, brought everything together. And, you know, he's been floating around AEW for a while, off and on. So it was nice to see him back in what I would consider his home in the WWE, showing respect to his family, particularly Davey Boy, when they did that hype-up video for 92.
Yeah, I'm glad that Bret's able to put the past behind him. And yeah, he's bouncing back and forth. But when you're Bret Hart, you can do that. And you go to the highest bidder. Apparently WWE wanted him bad enough there that he probably paid his ticket over to Cardiff.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. So moving from the recap of 92, we come into one of the most anticipated matches of the night between you and me. And
this is a Haas fight warning. These are two legit badass dudes that are beat the crap out of each other. Haas fight warning.
So you got Sheamus coming out with his boys and the Brawling Brutes. And then you've got Ludwig Kaiser. I don't like the name. I wish they had kept his NXT name, but that's neither here nor there. He introduces us to Giovanni Vinci, completing the return of Imperium. This was big, in my opinion, because I think Gunther needed this third man to counter the Brawling Brutes. I don't think we've seen the end of this rivalry, and we'll get to that in a moment. But it's nice to see Imperium come back together on the main roster.
The reformation of Imperium was huge. The crowd loved it. They looked great coming out. Nobody can deny the body transformation of Walter, Gunther, whatever you want to call him. He looks amazing and is a perfect matchup for Sheamus. Their styles go for each other. They're big brutes that can wrestle and just beat the crap out of each other. And they did. And seeing Imperium at the beginning of this was just the icing on the cake.
And I love, they've done this for a couple of weeks now. I just love that the match started. The match didn't start. The bell didn't ring. But you start off with Pete Dunne, Butch, whatever you want to call him, and Ridge Holland going toe-to-toe, fighting with Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser. And you just see the stare down between Gunther and Sheamus. They just stand there staring while their respective factions are just going toe-to-toe all the way around the ring.
Yeah, it really set the tone for the match, and I thought that was a cool moment as well. I of all the matches, I want to go back and watch this match. I'm not saying it's the best match on the card. I just love the style of two guys beating the crap out of each other. So this is the first match that I'm going to go back and rewatch. I've only watched it live. I haven't gone back and rewound anything. So that's definitely the first match I'm going to go back and watch a little bit later on tonight.
I'm with you there. I've only watched things live, and then we came in shortly after it went off the air. About an hour after things went off the air is when we hit the studio here. But the bell rings, and it is just excuse me. It is just brutal, the beating that these two give each other. I don't know if you remember, Nick, I said a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this match and hyping it up, I speculated that Sheamus might look like Bryan Danielson did at the end of that Rumble a few years ago when his chest was just ground beef colored red. He looked like a hamburger is what I believe Corey Graves said on commentary in regards to Sheamus. And I my prediction was right. He looked legit beat up from the chops that Gunther was throwing at him.
Yeah, his chest resembled that of raw hamburger. It was pink. The blood was oozing out, and blood on Sheamus, excuse me, just even looks better. And I was reading an article this week and talking about wrestlers when they're put into a program with Sheamus. They kind of have to reality check. It's taken a taking yourself to the next level, because Sheamus enjoys pain and enjoys laying it on hard. So when you get in there with Sheamus, it's a legit battle, and you're going to pay for it. And Walter, I'm sure, has paid for it. You know, Walter walked away with the win. You know, no spoiler there, but he walks away with the win. But he expounded a lot to get it, maybe more than he ever has before.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you say he walks away with the win. I got to point out he walks away with the ugliest title in WWE, in wrestling right now, the Intercontinental Championship. Hopefully our boy Triple H will change that back to something something a little more respectable in the coming months. But what a hard-hitting match that was. Just brutal and vicious all over the place between these two.
Yep. Like I said, when this podcast is done and I get a few other things done, that's the first match from this show I'm going to go back and watch.
I'm excited to rewatch. You know, the card overall, like I said, was fantastic. Few exceptions. And, you know, we're going to roll on here. That match was hard-hitting and great. I know you've got limited time, so I want to make sure we touch everything before. Sure. But we get an Usos promo next. We'll talk about them a little more when we get to the main event. But the next match on the card is Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the women's title on the SmackDown side. Let me ask you, because I know what I thought of this match. What did you think of this match, Nick?
I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I went and got something to eat during most of this match. I knew that there was no way Shayna Baszler was walking out of there with the title. I knew Liv was going to retain. I mean, just there's no way. You don't go do a breakout segment with Riddle and then you're going to lose that week. You're going to find something from they're going to find something from that session, use it the match, and you can cross plug it. Boom. She was going to win. She was not going to lose the title. So I pretty much knew that was in hand. So I did not feel out of this match, but what I seen, the MMA holds did look legit and locked in when they're done right. But I know you got to suspend disbelief when you watch wrestling, but nobody's right mind would Liv Morgan ever beat Shayna Baszler, period. True. That's my thing. That's my
very take. True. Here's my thinking going into this match. Yes, you know the build, because she's been training with Riddle, that Liv's going to retain the title. They don't want to put the belt on Shayna because they want to build back towards Liv versus Ronda Rousey, I'm sure, in the coming months, especially now that as of Friday, as of last night on SmackDown, Ronda's suspension is over. But honestly, when I look at this match, my one thought going into it was they really need to make Liv look like she can handle herself well against an MMA style fighter. Did they 100% do this? No. But did they make an effort to do this? Absolutely. I think Liv's biggest weakness as a champion is she doesn't come off as a champion. And I hate to say that. I love Liv Morgan. I think she's a great character. I think the fans love her very much. Probably deserves to hold the title, but when you look at the likes of who she's been facing with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, she does not look like she belongs in the ring with them.
You said it better than I could have at the time. That's the way I feel too. And you know, I believe, you know, they're kind of building her this way as this underdog champion that keeps retaining, inevitably going up against Ronda Rousey. Now, are we going to completely crap on the credibility of Ronda Rousey and what she's accomplished in past to have Liv Morgan go over again? Or is Ronda going to get it back, get the title back? So that remains to be seen. I know what I want to see. I don't know what others want to see. I know my opinions vary a lot on people, but I just can't get into Liv Morgan as the champion. It's not a knock against her. Hopefully it's building to something bigger, but I just can't. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her championship reign because she just doesn't look like she belongs there. Does she deserve the title for the hard work she's put in? Absolutely, 100%. Can she stand up toe-to-toe with the people they're putting her against? Absolutely not. And it shows.
Yeah, she's going to get better, and I understand that. I know what they're doing, and I know what they're trying – I know they're trying to do something different, and I applaud them for that. But I just – there's times where I don't even know, you know, if she'd even be the best, you know, at in NXT. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's a
– you know, maybe a rundown on NXT would be good for her. I don't know.
I can agree with that.
With that being said, you know, she retained. Good for her. She got a good win on a big show.
And she got a clean win, too.
A clean win on a big show, a title retention. So good for her. She's got momentum going the right way. And now, I mean, when do they pull the trigger on Ronda on the rematch with Ronda and Liv?
My guess, if I were to speculate on that, would be Survivor Series. We've got, and they do a promo for it with Extreme Rules coming up in October. I don't think we're going to see the big match between Ronda and Liv in October because of, I don't know if you saw SmackDown or read about SmackDown. Right now there's a pseudo rivalry between Adam Pearce and Ronda Rousey. And I think the way they're building it is Adam Pearce is going to hold Ronda back from getting a title shot. That's how I would play it if it were me.
Okay. Well, that remains to be seen, but you know, we're eventually going to get it. Is it by Survivor Series? Who knows? You know, we're over a month away from Extreme Rules, which we see a promotion for that later on. Extreme Rules is on October 8th. So we're over a month away from it. So it could be at the next pay-per-view at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I could be very wrong, but if I were booking it, I would wait until Survivor Series for that one. Speaking of promos, we get a promo for the event on Sunday, which I didn't know this was happening. The Worlds Collide NXT UK Unification Show. For those of you who don't know, NXT UK is going bye-bye. 2023, it will be rebranded to NXT Europe. But for the time being, they need to do something with their NXT wrestlers and championship belts. So that is where tomorrow's premium live event comes in for NXT with the Worlds Collide. And I don't know. I haven't followed NXT. I don't think you have either, Nick. I'm probably going to watch it at some point. Whether it's tomorrow, I've got a lot going on, especially with All Out being tomorrow night. And that's going to just cut it close to getting to where I'm going to be watching All Out. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch it as it's happening or if I'll watch it later in the week.
I'll have to watch it later in the week. I will be tailgating tomorrow at All Out during that show. So I'll have to watch it maybe on Monday, maybe hopefully by the end of Tuesday I'll have seen it. Yeah, that's an interesting show, and we can talk about that at a later time. There's definitely some interesting matches on there. I think some things are going to happen. And it's an odd time, but I think they wanted to get some eyes on it before All Out came on.
I can agree with that.
Can't blame them for that. So good time to unify these titles, and they're going to move on from here. So we'll talk about that later. I'm trying to think where we're at now on the show. We get that announcement. So Worlds Collide.
The next match that we have on the show is Edge and Rey versus the Judgment Day.
Yes, Edge and Rey versus Judgment Day. I thought Edge might have got the biggest pop of the night. The crowd was dying to see him. They loved it. Everything Edge did was crisp. It looked good. My friend Brian, I was watching the show with, said, I think that's the best of Edge's look since he's come back. I couldn't disagree. I thought Edge looked smooth. I thought it's the best Rey has looked. Rey has looked a little sluggish at times, but Edge and Rey together work so well, and Edge getting that reaction was what really stuck out to me for this match.
I love that he came out in a luchador mask, and I wish he had worn it during the match, but I understand why he didn't. That really popped me when he came out wearing a mask to kind of sync up with Rey.
Yeah, when he came out with a mask, I laughed. I'm like, dude, this is such a great touch. I love this. This is great. Now, I imagine having never really wrestled in a mask for a full long time, it's probably harder than you think to do it for one match. So, yeah, he got the good pop coming out, and everybody, you know, got to see him in a mask. But I could understand Edge not wanting to wrestle with a mask on.
Yeah, I can agree with that. What I want to talk about most about this match didn't happen during the match, and I'll be honest with you. The match was pretty good. I was expecting what happened at the end to happen during the match. And when it didn't, I said to myself, okay, well, I guess it's not going to happen tonight. And then the Judgment Day leave the ring. You've got Ray, Edge, and Dominic all in the ring together. And what we've been waiting for, what a lot of people knew was coming, just Triple H kept us waiting. Dominic kicks Edge right in the midsection, right in the crotch, and then clotheslines his dad for the big heel turn.
Yeah, you were expecting it the whole match. He was going to cost them the match. Like, that was how it was going to be done, right? That's how it was going to be. And I love it. I love how they did it, because they planted the seed the other night when Ray's like, I need someone with more experience, you know, to help us in our battle. I can see Dominic starting to get a little jealous, a little butt hurt maybe about it. So after the match, you know, you get the low blow from Dominic to Edge. Go back and watch Edge after he gets kicked. After Edge gets the low blow, watch him sell it as he falls to the ground. He never loses eye contact with Dominic. It's priceless. I thought it was excellent, because that's going to be your next program. You're going to get Edge and Dominic before you eventually get Edge and Ray, right? Or excuse me, Ray and Dominic. I'm sorry, Ray and Dominic.
Right.
As after the match, he turned. Ray felt so bad for the turn. You know, begs for forgiveness from Edge. And, you know, Edge immediately grants it, knowing that Edge did not set that up, or knowing that Ray did not set that up, excuse me.
And here's the best part for me. Dominic's walking to the back, and I must have turned away from the TV because I didn't see it happen. He's wearing a Mysterio shirt, and as he's walking to the back, it is completely ripped in half.
Yeah, he got tussled around a little bit. We did, you know, I like how they did it, because I didn't want him to join Judgment Day.
No, I can agree with that.
Maybe down the road he can, but not right now. He's doing this on his own. He's acting out on his own. They may have coerced him, but this is all of his own actions. This is nothing with the Judgment Day pushing him. That's what I hope. That's what I hope for.
I'm with you there. I don't think that he needs the Judgment Day's influence because of the jealousy for Ray picking Edge over him, you know, for Ray going against family and picking someone, as you said, with more experience than Dominic had to go against the Judgment Day.
I love the storyline in which Edge is probably wanting to do one solid for Ray and work with Dominic and, you know, put him over before he retires, with Dominic's going to be around for a while. Edge and Dominic, I know people are like, and Dominic's not the most interesting wrestler, but trust me, Edge is going to make everything he can out of this, and this thing will be a good feud.
Yeah, and worst case scenario, he makes Dominic look like $1 million, because that's what Edge does best.
Oh, for sure. And I got a feeling that this match is going to be one we'll talk about for a while when they finally have it, Edge and Dom, because I just think similar styles, but the ages are just so much different. And, hey, props. I did make one note on the whole show. Edge doing the 619.
That popped me, too. That was great.
It was ugly, but he tried it, and I loved it.
Yeah, as Corey Graves put it, it was not a 619, it was a 519, because Edge didn't quite pull it off.
But no, I like that match. I loved how Damian Priest looked like $1 million in this match. Finn Balor, he looked okay, but Damian Priest to me is going to be the star of that group. And but this match was good. The post match made it even better. And you're looking at yourself, you're like, wow, we've got a couple bangers on this show already, and we're not even done yet.
That's I posted on our Twitter page. I'm like, this show has been a roller coaster, and we're not even done. And it was right around this time that I posted that. After this match, we get the attendance numbers at 62,296, and then we roll right on into what arguably is the biggest feud of the show, in my opinion. And that is Matt Riddle, who got his first name back. Thank you for that. And Seth frickin' Rollins. This is my pick for match of the night. I'm just going to lay that out there, Nick. What do you think on that?
Yeah, until I go back and watch Sheamus and Gunther again. Yeah, this match was so much fun. You could tell they were laying the shots on stiff, because those guys both had goose eggs on their head by the end of the night.
They did.
I loved, and they didn't do anything over the line. Those guys are both professionals, and they blurred the lines, but they didn't do anything over the line, as opposed when it came to the physicality. And we both win. We all win, not just me and you, but the wrestling world wins with a tremendous match. And you knew it had to end this way, because this one's a long way from being over with.
Oh, absolutely. And to be quite honest, I felt that Rollins needed the win here after his program with Cody Rhodes and three straight losses, because he did not have a match on SummerSlam. So there was no win or loss on SummerSlam. He took three straight losses to Cody Rhodes and is coming off of that program. Rollins really needed this win to bring him back. I mean, okay, at the end of the day, Rollins doesn't need to win. He doesn't need title belts. He's arguably the best wrestler in WWE right now. But since he's been talking about going after Roman, he needed this win to solidify himself as still in the title picture, in my opinion.
Yeah, big win for Seth. He had to have this. This win meant more. And Rollins had said, or excuse me, and Matt Riddle said that going in. Win or lose, I just want to get my hands on him. So, you know, that'll set up a rematch at Extreme Rules. It'll be interesting to see what kind of match they do. I hope we don't see a last man standing match when we just had one a month ago between Brock and Roman. I hope we don't see one of those at Extreme Rules, and I hope it doesn't affect this. But these guys will beat the crap out of each other again in a month. And once again, we will win and be the benefactors of it. I can't wait. I love watching these guys, these two work. Could watch these two in the ring all day long.
And, you know, I mentioned Cody and Seth's program with Cody. It's just like that. I could watch those two all day long and their programs. You know, this is the same thing. These two hit it out of the park. And, you know, one last thing on this match that I want to mention. What did you think of Rollins' outfit as he came to the ring?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. His character is so over the top and delusional and lost touch with it. Yes, it was awful. I did comment, he must be very confident to wear light-colored trunks into a match. Because if I did, I'd know I'd probably have an accident or something, and I would never be able to live that down. So I would always wear dark-colored trunks to the ring. Props to Seth Rollins for having that confidence where an accident's not going to happen. And we get to win. That, I thought he channeled his inner Elton John. It looked great, though. It was ridiculous, and that's why it looked great.
He came out, and I'm like, what in the hell is he wearing? And it was brilliant. I mean, he's called the Drip God for a reason. I don't know what that means, but it means Seth Rollins to me. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I'm too old for this drip stuff. So, yeah, that I have no idea what that means. All I can tell you is we've talked about it before. I don't know if it was off air or on the show. I can't remember. We've talked so much about wrestling. And you know, he's in the conversation with Shawn Michaels, in my opinion. And he may have passed Shawn Michaels. Go back and we can compare them one day, maybe on a future podcast. But
yeah, and I think we should put a pin in that.
In the class, and if he hasn't passed him, he's getting close. He's that good. You put him in there with anyone, and he is that good. That's what Shawn Michaels was. Shawn Michaels could work with, you know, his style was great with just about anything, and the same goes here.
Did him and Michaels have a match before Shawn retired?
Oh, let me think. When would it have been?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking, because can you imagine a match between Seth now and Shawn Michaels in his prime?
No, I don't think they ever did. No, no.
I think you're right. And that's something that the fantasy booker in me, I'm going to go over to my PlayStation. I'm going to put in WWE, and I'm gonna put Seth Rollins against Shawn Michaels, and I'll probably honestly have Rollins go over in that match. But that's something that I would love to see them. Shawn Michaels in his prime, Seth Rollins now, would be the match of the year for the entirety of wrestling, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would be great. I will never see it. Two different eras, ages, injuries, and whatnot. But yeah, I think he's entered that level of conversation. That he's entered the conversation, and he's only going to get better. He's only going to get better, and I can't wait till Cody gets back so he and Cody can pick up where they left off, because there's a lot of unfinished business there.
And I almost hope that when Cody gets back, Seth has the titles, because that would make it for Cody to win the titles off of Rollins. I think that'd be a much sweeter victory, in my opinion, than him taking them off of Roman because of their history.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. That would make a lot of sense. That wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
So we're almost there. We're at the crux of the night, the climax of the night here. Go ahead.
We're at the main event now. Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns for all the confetti. What did you think of this match?
The match itself, I thought, was fantastic. I mean, it was a little slow, but I think it had to be with those two, because they were just, it was a slugfest. Let me see what I have. So I love
this was
the
another Hoss fight. I had Hoss fight written down. Two big guys that beating the crap out of each other. The stare down at the beginning of the match. You realize Drew's pretty tall. Roman's looking up at Drew. So Drew is a big dude. You sound a little disappointed when I asked you. And if I had to guarantee one thing, I thought Drew would have been walking out as champion.
I'm with you there.
I may not have been happy with the match result, but I love the fact that wrestling tricked me, and that's why I like wrestling, and that's what keeps me coming back. Roman winning that, and the genuine shock of everybody, including me, I'm like, yeah, this is why I like Same watching here. Wrestling. This is why I like watching wrestling, because I'll be damned. I thought Drew was going to win and get the monster pop. And then maybe have to deal with Theory after the match. That's how I kind of envisioned it.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. I'm right there with you.
The fact that it didn't happen and I was still shocked and entertained, it was great. I loved it. Is it my favorite match of all time? Oh, no. Is it Roman Reigns' best defense? Maybe not. It's up there. No. Drew and him work well together. Would like to see them in the ring a lot more often. But the ending, yeah, it pissed the people off. Everybody thought they were going to see the crowning of a king in their own country, and boom, it didn't happen. So wrestling giveth and taketh, depending on which side you're on, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I wanted Drew to win the match.
I'm with you. I wanted Drew to win. Let me talk to you about what I loved about the match here. First of all, before the match even started, you get the Drew McIntyre hype piece with his old entrance music, with Broken Dreams. I thought that was a great touch.
That was great.
Austin Theory, A-Town down hits. You see Austin Theory come to the ring and just gets completely laid out by Tyson Fury. That was a high spot for me. He's standing there. He's like, I'm cashing in. Tyson Fury comes in and just like, wham! No, you're not.
And Tyson Fury laid that forearm in deep. He got him pretty good.
He did. So I'm going to bring a difference of opinion, because I was talking to my good friend Emily, who's a big wrestling fan. Solo Sikoa. Here's my thing. I love the fact that Solo has been called up and is going to be a part of the Bloodline. Here's what my friend Emily said. She told me that she feels that with everybody that Roman has helping him win matches, at this point in time, it's starting to make him look weak.
Yeah, but that's heel. That's what your heel champ's supposed to be. He's supposed to be that way. I love it because Solo Sikoa has never been mentioned. He's never been mentioned as being related to Roman.
No.
Okay. Oh, he comes from a wrestling family. And now we see this guy show up. He's called up on the main roster. Okay. No Paul Heyman, no Usos, no one there to bail out Roman, right? He's going to lose to Drew. And guess what? We got surprised. They pulled one on us. I love him showing up. The fact that it makes him look weak, I don't know. I didn't think that one single bit. He just had an extra card up his sleeve, and it got us, and I love it.
And I understand that, but at the same time, I see where Emily is coming from, because look at the people that Roman has with him. You've got the Usos. You've got Paul Heyman. You've got Sami Zayn, and now you've got Solo Sikoa. He's surrounding himself so that he's untouchable. And so, the fact that he's untouchable...
Hey, so Ric Flair.
Okay, that is very fair. I'll concede that point. I mean, at the same time, I like I said, I love Solo Sikoa. I think it's great that he got called up. He deserves to be with his brothers, with his cousin. I think it's going to be a fun time to see him and how he is integrated into the bloodline. And honestly, what's next? I mean, you've got the rumors. So we had rumors.
I was totally shocked. What's next? I thought Karrion Kross was going to get involved. What a total bluff on their part. So something's going to happen along there. He's going to get interjected in the storyline somehow. Yeah, good question. What's next? And that's okay in wrestling, isn't it? It allows us to pontificate on what's going to be happening.
And here's the thing that really surprised me, and probably a little bit of you too. You've got rumors that Naomi and Sasha are coming back. We haven't seen them. The last report that I saw, they are part of the internal roster of WWE. Not on the website yet, but dirt sheet reporters have said they're part of the internal roster. You've got rumors that Braun Strowman has signed a contract.
He's being advertised by WWE. He is being advertised for Raw.
So I was surprised neither Naomi and Sasha nor Braun Strowman showed up at the show. I'm glad it was Solo, but I half expected Roman to win because Braun Strowman came in and picked a fight.
Yeah. If they threw us a curveball for sure. I love being surprised. This one didn't upset me too much. I'm in a good mood because it's Labor Day weekend. It's a big wrestling weekend. And, you know, we've kind of wrapped up Clash at the Castle here. I can't wait. I will be heading out for All Out in the morning.
And I'll be heading to a local venue to watch it live. We will probably hit the studio, I'm guessing, on Monday is what's probably going to work best for both of us, I think, unless you have a lot going on.
Yeah, we're going to figure something out. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to talk about this loaded show that All Out's going to be. 15 matches, TV. We got our hands full.
We definitely do. 15 between the pre-show and the main card. There's going to be a lot to talk about. All Out is tomorrow night in Chicago. We're going to put a bow on this episode because I don't think we can talk any more about it. I'm anxious for tomorrow. I'm anxious to see what NXT brings us in the next couple of days. With the Worlds Collide, All Out is going to be amazing. Nick, any last words on your end?
What a great time to be a wrestling fan. Soak it all in. Enjoy it. Full weekend of shows. If there's nothing out there that you don't like in wrestling, you might want to find yourself because there's plenty to like out there. Enjoy it. There's a lot out there, and I can't wait. This weekend's the biggest one of the year for me outside of WrestleMania.
All right, well, I'm right there with you, Nick. We're going to wrap it up for today. We will be back with our All Out recap in the next couple of days. For Nick Bull, who is at NickBull55, I am at the Wizard CZ on Twitter. You can find the podcast at CSTC Podcast. That is it for today. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you back here for our All Out recap. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
So long.